strap on the boots and scrape up the knuckles.
Oh, what a hit!
He got jacked.
This is the Big Red Rage with Calais Campbell. Presented by Santan Ford.
He's hit and thrown down by Campbell at the 40-yard line.
They can't block Calais Campbell.
Calais Campbell has been a monster.
The Rage is brought to you by Santan Ford. It's all about you. University of Phoenix, the official education partner of the Arizona Cardinals. And by Bud Light. It's the sure sign of a good time. Here we go.
It doesn't get any better than that.
Temperature rising, vision blurring, rage taking over.
From Marley Sports Grill at the Chandler Fashion Center.
Hey guys, where else would you rather be?
Here's Paul Calvisi.
Get your rear right back in the locker room.
Ron Wolfley.
How'd that feel, Mr. Fancy Pants?
And Calais Campbell.
Let's go!
Unleash the fury!
Oh yeah, absolutely. That's the cue right there. I don't want to start with a hard-hitting question or anything here. On the Big Red Rage, but who's ready for a home opener? Come on now.
Oh, the Red Sea, Paulie.
You realize this will be the eighth home opener, and the Cardinals are 6-1 in the previous seven. Not saying there's any urgency or any pressure on you, Calais Campbell. Just saying that the track record is the track record, and it's pretty stellar, and it's waiting for you guys to uphold it on Sunday against the Lions. How are you doing, Calais Campbell?
I'm feeling great. I'm feeling real good right now. So far, we had a good week of practice. I think we're going to go out there and get number seven.
You know, I will say this. Cardinals might be 0-1 right now. But yeah. The Big Red Rage with Calais Campbell is definitely 1-0. Based on the fact that the guest in week one had never scored in his career at any level. What happens? He does the Big Red Rage with Calais, and he ends up in the end zone as a 327-pound nose tackle.
Hey, man, pick six. He told me he would have turned all the way if it was a 99-yard return, too. It didn't matter.
I said, really? So he's delusional. Did you guys give him the concussion test after that comment? I see.
Boy, that really was a great play, too, wasn't it? Matt Shaughnessy, first of all, batting that ball into the air, and then Big Dan Williamson. Once Big Dan got the ball and you saw him inside the 5-yard line, there was no way they were going to keep him out of the end zone.
No.
Who's going to stop Big Dan Williamson?
Nobody. It's impossible.
You know,
that is a downhill dumpster.
They recorded it as a 2-yard score. Did he really go 2 yards? I mean, did you think they were a little generous in the spot there? Did he really travel 2 yards into the end zone, or did he just sort of tumble in?
He had to reach out like a yard to grab the ball and then pull it back. So that's a yard right there without running.
Okay.
What did he do with the ball, Calais? I mean, he had to keep that thing.
Oh, he did. All the way to the sideline. He still had it, Wolf. He still had
it.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, after the game, somebody had grabbed the ball before they were supposed to out of his locker.
Ruh-roh.
And he had a problem.
No way.
He was really he was upset for a second, but we found it. It's safe and sound. He's going to get it painted and put it in a trophy case.
Boy, that was so funny, too, when you saw Dan running off, taking it over to the sideline. Looked like a sandwich in his hand. The football.
He wouldn't let that go.
Man, that guy is big, man.
Is that story over the years going to be like a fishtail? Is it going to get bigger and better and grander over years? Is 2 yards going to be 20 yards? Is going to end up being a 99-yard return? Is that one of those things he'll exaggerate in the chair with the grandkids?
I think he will, but hopefully that's not his only one. Hopefully he get a few more.
Now, have you ever done that, Calais? I mean, have you picked off a pass at any level and, returned it at all, let alone for a touchdown?
I had an interception against Michael Vick a couple years ago. But,
that's right, yes.
I had a zero.
Oh, wait a minute. That's yes, when I'm snatched the thing out of the air, right?
I was so surprised, though, when I caught it. I just went down. I didn't want to.
Hey, you know what, Calais? You weren't alone. We all were a little surprised.
Are you looking for your first defensive touchdown, though?
Yes, I am. I need one.
Oh.
I need one. Maybe this game. Who knows?
You got a touchdown dance? I mean, you got, you know.
I have something to store.
Really?
If I score a touchdown, I have something to store.
Wow.
I mean, that's a big deal. You don't score touchdowns every day.
Or you got to show us after the show.
Yeah, but see, in the moment, you know, like Dan, I'm sure Dan had a touchdown dance all ready to go. But in the moment, he forgets in the excitement.
Oh, no, he was too tired.
Oh, I see. Yeah, the 2-yard return took it out of him. It's the Big Red Rage with Calais Campbell, all presented by Santan Ford here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center.
Chill.
Bradford takes, fakes the run in his end zone, throws it, tipped and picked off by Dan Williams, and he scores! Touchdown, Cardinals! Matt Shaughnessy tipped it, and the biggest guy on the field, Dan Williams, got his paws on it, picked it off, and it's a touchdown!
Oh, the dumpster opened the lid, and in went the pig! Dan Williams showing those soft, buttery hands.
And Calais, picking up where we left off in the initial segment there, and last week you're saying he got yelled at on the sidelines by the coaches. What was that?
They said that he thought he looked like he was out of breath, like he ran 50 yards or something. It was only a 2-yard run. Why is he doing so hard?
But he had to weave through everyone, giving him congratulations all the way back to the bench. You know, that was a good 35 yards or
something.
Yeah,
so, I about tackled him.
Yeah, exactly. He was carrying half the team because everybody dogpiled him, and he never went down. You know?
And this guy is one of your best friends on the team?
Yes, 100%.
You guys are really tight, huh?
Yeah.
Wow, what was that meeting room like? Did you guys beat him up about that thing? I mean, you didn't let him just go ahead and pick a ball out of the air and score a pick six, a 2-yard return. Did you beat him up for that at all?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right.
I told him, I was like, yo, if you catch a ball like that, next time pitch it to me. Let me score a touchdown.
It was either Tyron or Patrick Peterson after the game in the locker room. I can't quite remember, said that they actually stepped in front of him in a tip drill earlier that week in practice and grabbed one. He got all mad. He got all indignant. He's like, that was my pick. And, you know, Tyron and Patrick got in front of him. So, you know, now he's going to claim ownership for that sort of stuff.
Yeah, okay. He told me he's going to lead the team of interceptions. He said 6 more picks, he's going to the Pro Bowl as a DB.
How's the voice, by the way? The voice sounds better. So you're on the recovery with the voice?
On recovery, just a little bit. You know, still a little raspy, but it's getting there.
Why is it kind of like that, Calais? Do you walk out in between those white lines and scream like a primal warrior? I mean, what do you do? Do you scream a lot during a game? Are you talking? Look at Paul over here, the sideline reporter, ladies and gentlemen, for the Arizona Cardinals, just shaking his head up and down. Yes, you scream that much. Isn't it one of the best things about playing the game? You can act like that, right? You can act like a savage if you want.
I scream more in practice than I do in the games. You know, I think practice is where you win the game at. So, you know, practice. I'm
who are you screaming at in practice?
Yeah, what's the rhyme or reason with the screaming? That's a great question. I want to know. That's like 8 years on the sideline. I want to know this. What is behind it? And when, how, why?
You know, I think energy is a big part of the game. And when you scream and yell, people get a little more excited. You know, it just brings a little more energy to practice. So,
yeah.
You know, I got to get everybody excited. You know, otherwise, you know, practice is going to be worth
nothing. Well, are you screaming at your teammates, you know, just urging them on? Or are you screaming at the offensive linemen?
You know, it's a little bit of both.
The intensity level is just, wow.
Well, Calais, I'm feeling you. Wolf feeds off my energy all the time. Right? Believe me, I got to bring it for both of us around here. It's a tough deal. Now, your birthday was earlier this week as well?
Yeah, like a week and a half ago. So
okay, all right. How about it? 27 years of age, everyone. Calais Campbell. Refresh my memory on 27. Well, what's that like? Go ahead. Take us down that avenue.
I feel old.
Oh, jeez.
No, I'm just joking. I feel great. I feel fantastic. You know, this is another year, but I really feel the exact same. You know, I think the biggest thing is just, you know, I'm excited because it's football season. My birthday always means it's football season, and that's what I love about it.
You know, Fitz turned 30 recently. There was that one play in practice where the ball went over his head. He didn't quite run it down. It was over his head. It was an overthrow, and somebody yelled, hey, a 29-year-old gets to that ball. I mean, it's brutal. I mean, it's brutal on the sideline.
That's hilarious.
Nothing. All right, now look. Big news earlier today, in fact. I'm looking at an email here. This is an announcement your foundation, something you're calling Calais Cheer for a Cause. Fill us in on this.
Yeah, so pretty much, you know, I get a lot of people asking me about, like, donating to different foundations and whatnot. So I figured that, you know, I want to do something this year where, you know, I donated for the way I play. So every time I get a sack or a block field goal, I want to donate money to a charity. So I'm every game we're going to pick, my charity's going to pick a random fan wearing my jersey and let them decide what foundation we donate to.
Really? Very nice. All right. So you're looking into the stands, find someone in a 93 jersey, and then boom, they're the lucky winner, and you will donate to their charity of choice.
Charity of choice. And, you know, it depends on my play. So, you know, if I get, you know, one sack, it's 1,000. If I get, you know, three sacks, it goes up to like 6,000. You know, it just depends on the amount of plays, like, you know, I can make. So my goal is to make plays and give back.
Interesting. All right. Your takeaways from the game in St. Louis. Give us a quick assessment. You watched the game film. How'd you feel out there? What'd you think?
I could have played a whole lot better. You know, I feel like it was one of those things where, you know, it's just getting back into it, I was a little rusty. You know, we made a lot of plays, you know, here and there, but then we just let too many plays go, man. Just too many opportunities we didn't capitalize off of. But, you know, I tell you, it's one of those games we let slip away, and I'm kind of disappointed in that. But it's still 15 games left for football, and I feel like we showed that we can be a really good team this year.
What are you hearing from the coaches this week? What's the message from above?
to be physical. We got to physically beat down these guys. I'm talking about just terrorize them. And I think that, you know, if we beat down them, shut down the running game, Reggie Bush, Calvin Johnson, you know, be physical. Stafford, you know, he'll throw us the ball, and we'll win this game.
There's so much more I want to say about that, too, as the show unfolds, because the Detroit offense, they certainly have weapons. No doubt about it, they have an awful lot of skill and an improving offensive line. And certainly want to talk to you, Calais, about that.
Well, you guys definitely had your way with the Lions offensive line a year ago. There's no doubt about that. Hey, Cardinals single game tickets are on sale now. Visit the University of Phoenix Stadium box office or visit Ticketmaster.com. We'll come back with a very special guest here this evening. We'll see if he still needs a daily massage after that effort in St. Louis. It is the Big Red Rage, all presented by Santan Ford here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center.
Palmer throws over the middle, and it's caught by Roberts. Oh, he gets nailed at the 39-yard line. Caught around midfield by Roberts. A spectacular catch. Throws complete. Roberts, and he gets walloped at the 25, but hangs onto the ball. Fires left side. A diving catch made for a first down. Oh, what a grab by Roberts.
That is an unbelievable catch by Andre Roberts, and Andre Roberts has had a massive game here today.
So, Wolf, if you went back through the game film, what sort of words would you attach to that montage of catches? 8 grabs, 97 yards. He had 4 receptions for 42 yards on third down alone. All 4 of those resulting in first downs. You heard the verb nailed in there, right? He took a pounding. I mean, he earned every single grab. How would you describe it after watching it?
Difficult, man. I just told Andre right here. I said, you know what? I can't remember at least one easy grab that he made in that game. Very, very difficult catches.
All right, Calais, your turn now. Go ahead. Give us an introduction to your teammate to your left, the aforementioned. Go ahead. You take it and make it official.
All right. This guy right here is one of the most underrated players in the NFL. I think he's one of those guys that I look up to just by the way he approaches the game, how hard he works. And I love him as a teammate, my man Andre Roberts.
Appreciate that.
So where did that performance rank for you? I mean, how gratifying was that to come out? And, I don't know if there was an easy catch in the bunch. I mean, as Wolf said, the degree of difficulty was off the charts, Andre.
It was probably my second. I think last year, Miami, that was my first.
Mm-hmm.
2 touchdowns that game. Had a couple of fourth down catches to help us, you know, going to overtime to win that game. So I'd say that was probably my number 2.
Do you think that you have had difficulty catching the ball from time to time in the past? Do you believe that you need to get better at that?
If I'm not 100%, I feel like I need to get better. I think every receiver is that way. We feel like we should catch everything that's thrown to us, even if the ball's, you know, wherever.
What was your favorite catch last Sunday against the St. Louis Rams? Because, again, Andre, you made unbelievable grabs out there on the field. What was your favorite catch?
Probably the third down, the one I dove for.
Yes.
Because it led to a touchdown. I did have some catches in that game, but that third down led to a touchdown, and I was pretty excited about that.
You also were contested on a lot of your catches as well. You know, talk about that, the degree of difficulty, and how much more do you have to concentrate when it's contested?
It is a little bit tougher. Being in the middle of the field, playing the position that I play, it's going to usually be contested because I'm usually going to be in man coverage or I'm going to be over the middle where the safeties are. So either I'm going to catch the ball and somebody's going to be on me, or I'm going to get hit probably right after I catch the ball. I'm hoping most of the time I have a chance to make people miss, though.
Calais, were you like me on the sideline? I know you guys are on the bench a lot of times, resting your legs, you know, that kind of thing. But you guys watch a Jumbotron. But, I mean, you're standing right there, and you're like, okay, wait a minute. Did he catch that? You're like, because all it is Andre Robertson, a massive defender's out in the field, and you're like, well, I didn't see the ball hit the ground. I think he came up with it. I mean, there was a lot of that where you had to wait a few seconds to be absolutely certain he was underneath with the ball.
Yeah, there were some times out there I was like, wow, did he catch that? You know, I mean, I guess I should call him Mr. Clutch because he caught everything, man, clutch situations. But, you know, I think he's going to have an even better game this week.
You know, and I don't throw this around lightly, Wolf, you know, because we had the pleasure of watching this guy for many years, and he just had a big game with the Niners. But it was almost Anquan Boldin-esque, the physical way that Andre Roberts went and grabbed that ball in traffic. right? And, I mean, he was just beating off defenders and putting his body between defenders and the football.
Yeah, you know, Carson Palmer, I think one of the strengths of Carson Palmer so far, early at least, and I realize it's a one-game sample size, but I think Carson Palmer does a very good job of going through his progressions. Would you agree with that, Andre?
I do agree with that. You saw at the first practice there in minicamp and OTAs, and we barely even knew the plays in this offense. He reads defenses real well, and he reads through the defense and understands what the defense is trying to do to him.
Because what was the strength of Kurt Warner, right?
Oh, man.
He'd find the fourth option. If you're open, he's finding you.
Kurt didn't care. That was the great thing about Kurt Warner. He really did not care what number you wore. He didn't care who your agent was. Mm-hmm. He didn't care how much money you were making. Kurt Warner would go through his progressions, and he would throw the ball to the open man, and he didn't care what kind of reputation you had. He didn't care what the down and distance was. If you were open, he was going to throw you the ball, wasn't he, Steven Spock?
Yes. I was just trying to remember the third-string tight end on third down with the NFC Championship on the line. I couldn't even remember the tight end's name until you just brought it up.
I believe it was a 3rd and 16, wasn't it? A 3rd and 16, yes. And Spock was wide open. Kurt said, you know what? Here it comes.
So what are your takeaways on the offense right now, Andre? I mean, you know, what's the next step for the offense? You know, what are you thinking after game one going into game two?
We did pretty well game one, but we all obviously have to do better in the red zone. We are 50%. We want to score every time we get in there, and, you know, we have the weapons of offense to do it, so, you know, why not?
And that, you know, that St. Louis defense with the pressure coming off the edges, I mean, that's no small thing. I mean, Calais, did you, you know, you watch a guy like Robert Quinn. I mean, I don't know how much you follow other guys in the league, but, I mean, he had himself quite a game, and he's a guy who's gotten progressively better each and every season, hasn't he?
Yeah, man, he had a big game, you know, and I think that that's one of those things where we're going to have to, when next we play there, we're going to have to make sure we give Levi a lot of help blocking him, chip him out the backfield a little bit, maybe keep a tight end in a couple times. Because that guy, I mean, he was brutal. Can't have that no more.
You know, I had the opportunity to talk to Carson Palmer, Andre, and I said, Andre Roberts, give me a word that you would associate with Andre Roberts. He said elusive. That really is your strength, isn't it? You want somebody to play man cover on you, don't you?
I do. I want somebody to play man cover on me, and I want somebody to try to hit me as hard as they can because most of the time I'm going to make them miss.
Hey, I like it.
Are you mainly in the slot, or are you moving all around as well as some of the other receivers?
I'm moving around just like the rest of us. I was probably more in the slot that game because we were running a lot of our run plays out of three receiver sets, but you know, I can be anywhere.
Interesting, and that is a lot to master in the playbook, no doubt about it. Hey, with each passing touchdown this season, a reminder, Wells Fargo will donate $500 to local public schools through the Passing Touchdowns for Schools program. Wells Fargo, together, will go far. On we go with the Big Red Rage, Calais Campbell, Andre Roberts, presented by Santan Ford here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center.
They fake the inside run. Bradford looking deep middle. It's caught by Cook at the 30. Inside the 20. 15. 10. He fumbled the ball at the 5. It's loose in the end zone. And it's recovered by the Cardinals. Tyrann Mathieu forced the fumble. It was Dansby that recovered it in the end zone.
You have got to be kidding me. Honey Badger ran down Jared Cook and knocked the ball out. It is unbelievable. That's what that kid does.
You know, in a different way, we had the same reaction. Andre Roberts, like, wait a minute, did he catch that ball? It was Tyrann Mathieu. Wait a minute, did he really punch that ball out? Calais Campbell, where were you when that ball came out?
I was on the field, and I was hustling. I'm like, wow, we just gave up a touchdown. The next thing you know, Tyrann comes out of nowhere and pumps it out. I'm like, oh, wow. What kind of man, that guy's a playmaker. I'll tell you, he does it in practice every day, though. The way he practices, he's always trying to get the ball out. I mean, every time a receiver catches it, and scout team, he's punching at it. Him and Patrick Peterson both. So afraid to do it in the game. I mean, I guess it's just, you know, comes second nature.
He said Jared Cook never saw him. Absolutely never saw him. You know, there he was, what, at the 3-yard line, and Tyrann said he knew right when he got up on him, boom, he was able to knock that thing out. And I guess, you know, seeing is believing because, you know, we hear about it. We saw it in camp for those of us who are practice every day. But when you see it in a game, that is when people around the nation are going to begin to realize what a playmaker he is inherently, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's just in his blood. It's in his makeup. You know, he's just one of those guys that walks into a field and he makes plays. Now, he works hard to make sure he's one of the best at doing it, but he has a knack for the game.
You know, one of the most incredible things about that play, it's just the progression that he went through as a football player mentally going through the thought of saying, you know what, run, run, Don't quit. Run. Just keep running. You know, don't quit. Don't ever give up. The effort was there out of Tyrann Mathieu. And then to have the thought, you know what, I'm going to punch this thing out is what I'm going to do. I'm not going to try to tackle this guy. I'm going to punch it out. And then to actually have the ability to time Jared Cook and how Jared Cook was running with that ball. So when he brought that thing back, boom, he shot that right hand up there and punched it out. To actually have the cognition and the wherewithal and the awareness to do that, I thought that was special. But that's something that's we've grown accustomed to seeing out of the Honey Badger.
You know, in the post-game interview, I asked Bruce Arians about it, and he said it was one of the best plays he's seen in his entire football career, which even went above and beyond what I expected. I figured he's going to praise it and compliment it. He said, flat out, one of the best plays he's ever seen in his 40 years of football. Andre, and going against a guy like Tyrann Mathieu and some of the drills and going through camp, how long did it take you to realize that, okay, this guy's a legit NFL talent?
Probably in OTAs.
Really?
Yeah, because how we did it this year, the rookies practiced on another field, and he was one of those rookies that came over and practiced with the veterans and the starters, and you could just see it. Like you said, all training camp, he's getting his hands on balls, and that play in the game was amazing. That's one of the you know what, that actually reminded me of a couple years back when Steve Breston ran a guy down.
Yes. In St. Louis.
Yeah, it was a fumble or something. He ran a guy down probably about 50 or 60 yards and made him fumble at the goal line. But that play by Tyrann is just amazing.
Where do you think he's best suited in a defensive backfield, Andre? You go against these guys every single day. Where do you think his eventual position or where he'll stay, you know, over the next decade?
Either safety or nickel. And the thing is, if you put him at safety and he's starting in the game, he can always drop down and be the nickel. He can cover those slot guys, and he does a real good job in practice, and he did a real good job on Tavon in the game.
You know, Calais, can you talk a little bit about that St. Louis game and where you think the defense needs to improve? Obviously, you guys did so many good things. I mean, it's funny, you know, under 3 yards per carry you guys allowed against the run. That's a point of emphasis this year, the fact that you created 2 takeaways in this game. Again, that's a positive. Sudden change where they got the ball on our 4-yard line with a turnover. We turn it over, they get the ball on our 4, then they get the ball on our 22. That's called sudden change in the NFL. You guys only gave up 6 points, 2 field goals in those sudden change opportunities. You guys were awesome there, yet the fact remains you had an 11-point lead in the fourth quarter, and we couldn't hold on to that. Talk a little bit about the defense and where you need to get better.
Yeah, that was tough. You know, having an 11-point lead in the fourth quarter and losing, I mean, that's bad for anybody. But, you know, we had a lot of good things that we did. We went there with emphasis on stopping the run and getting turnovers and being great in sudden change. I mean, those are the three of the biggest things any defense goes to any game with.
That's what you guys value.
And that's what we value, stopping the run, getting turnovers, and being good at sudden change. You know, and I mean, that's what we did.
And you guys were great at that.
Yeah.
But it's kind of hard to evaluate or assess your performance when you do have that 11-point lead, right?
It really
and
is.
And you can't hang on to it in the fourth.
But I tell you, that's the start. You know, this is the first game of the season. We're getting better and better, you know, every day we practice and stuff. So, you know, the biggest thing is just taking care of the small things right away. We get turnovers, you know, we get 2 turnovers a game, we're probably going to win majority of our games. You know, if we stop the run and help people to, you know, 2.8 average, we're going to win the majority of our games. You know, if we if the offense turns the ball over and we hold people to field goals instead of touchdowns, we're going to win the majority of our games.
Right.
We lost that one. But I guarantee if we do that week in, week out, we'll be a 12-win, 13-1 team.
Coach came out this week and said more John Abraham. He'll go from like 20 to 30 snaps. I imagine you're all in favor of that, get him on the field.
100%. You know, I think this game is the game to do it, too, because I mean, even though they want to run the ball and get the ball in their playmaker's hands with Reggie Bush to have out there now, they're a throwing team. I mean, Detroit, throw the ball to Calvin Johnson.
Yeah.
As simple as that.
Duh.
So John Abraham is one of the best pass rushers in the business. And I think he's looking his chops as mine. I think we're going to go out there and we're going to put some pressure on Shafford, pump his back a few times and win this game.
How about that 2-point conversion by Sam Bradford and that call? That is tough as a defense, isn't it? Everyone's accounted for. They spread out the field and then boom.
Yeah, I feel like that's partly my fault because I should have knew it was coming. And I should have did something about it. But, you know, it is what it is. Over and done with. Can't wait for this next week to get the taste of my mouth.
It's the Big Red Rage. Calais Campbell, Andre Roberts, presented by Santan Ford here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center.
Stafford will throw from deep in the end zone, fires deep near side, picked off by Peterson.
Oh, that's exactly what the Cardinals wanted Matthew Stafford to do. They showed press man over Calvin Johnson, and Adrian Wilson bailed immediately on the snap of the ball to try to help Patrick. They just baited Matthew Stafford. Score one for Patrick.
A year ago, he had Matthew Stafford, zero touchdown passes, three interceptions going against that Cardinals defense. And what was a 38-10 Cardinals win in Week 15? That was a year ago. And now you get the rematch. Cardinals and Lions. It is the home opener at University of Phoenix Stadium. It is sold out. That is 76 out of 76 games in the history of the stadium going back to 2006. And guess what? If you're in the area, come on down to Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. At the end of the show, we'll be giving away some tickets to the game on Sunday. It is the Big Red Rage, Calais Campbell, special guest Andre Roberts, Ron Wolfley, yours truly, Paul Calvisi. And our Jim Omohundro asked a great question of Patrick Peterson earlier today, Calais, and he said, when you're in the off season, maybe you're in the summer before camp, and you're grinding and you're working and you're doing one more rep, do you think of a matchup like Calvin Johnson? And he nodded immediately, said, absolutely I do. There are certain matchups in this game that drive athletes, aren't there?
100%. You know, I was talking to Pat Pete this whole week. You know, you could just see it in his eyes. He's so excited for this matchup. I mean, because he already has a little bit of a name of being one of the better quarterbacks in the league. But a matchup against Calvin Johnson, if he goes out there and he shuts him down, I mean, he makes himself, he just crushed his legacy. You know, this game is all about, you know, your legacy and what you do, what people think about you when you're done. And the game against one of the best receivers ever played a game, if not the best. But he's definitely the best in our game right now. I mean, I like Larry Fitzgerald a lot. Even if you ask Larry, he'd say Calvin Johnson's the best in the game. So for Pat P, man, it's a big challenge for him. But, you know, I think, you know, I'm going to do my best to help him out by getting pressure on the quarterback. But I think he's going to ball out. He's going to show the world that he's the best DB in the game.
Talk a little bit, Calais, of what you've seen, you and your defensive teammates, out of Calvin Johnson.
That guy's special. You know?
He's a little scary.
I've seen a film of him being double covered, the ball being badly thrown, and he still winds up with it. I don't understand how he does it, but he just has a magnet, you know, in his hands. The ball just ends up with him.
Just the fact that you at 6'8" are used to looking at receivers and looking down, and you're almost, you know, not quite eye to eye, but he's 6'5". I mean, he's a giant, and he run, you know, and his body control is, as all the DBs would say. I mean, he has the body control of a guy who's like 6 foot tall. You know, the speed, the hands. I mean, he doesn't lack for any skill set, does he?
Not at all. You know, he's definitely one of the most special people, and that's why I call him Megatron. You know, he's not even a human, superhuman.
You know what's amazing about it, too, is in light of the fact that Bruce Arians came in and said, okay, Andre Roberts, you're going to know multiple positions. And Larry Fitzgerald, by the way, you need to learn the Z. You need to learn the H. I don't know what you guys actually call it, but that is a slot receiver right there. You look at Megatron. You look at Calvin Johnson. He knows all three positions, and they move him around as well, trying to get him the ball, because obviously defense is going and they say, okay, Calvin Johnson, this guy right here, by the way, he's going to stand out. You'll notice him immediately. He's easy to find out there. We've got to go ahead and make sure he doesn't beat us. And yet you watch him, and Megatron is still making plays all over the field, and it's because they're moving him around. It's just an amazing thing to watch on film. This guy is a massive stud, no doubt about it. I think the best receiver in the NFL from the standpoint of everything that he can do.
And think about it. How many corners would be terrified, would be up every single night, that would be dreading week two against the Detroit Lions? And from all accounts, Patrick Peterson is looking forward to it, Andre. What does that say about him and his makeup as an athlete?
Well, you know, he's a special guy. He's a special player. He's our Pro Bowl corner. And, you know, anytime we have those kind of matchups, those big-time receivers, he's willing to take that on.
How much better has he gotten year after year? This is his third season. How much better is he now than he was 2 years ago?
You know, it's hard to imagine that he's gotten better just because he's so good. But he's just getting better and better every year, and that's one of the reasons why, you know, we have him on offense. I don't really know if I could say, you know, he is the best DB, but he is probably top three, if not the best, in our league. You know, when people ask me, who's the best DB you've ever gone against? And I just say Patrick Peterson because, you know, going up against him every day just makes you a better receiver.
And Larry said, you know, he's such a congenial, affable guy, you know, off the field, but he is ultra competitive out there.
Yes,
agree with
is.
That?
Yes, he is.
You know, it's interesting because last year, of course, Patrick Peterson really cover of Megatron. He wanted to be on him one-on-one, and I would imagine that is going to apply to Sunday as well, correct?
100%. You know, he's matching up against him, and you know, I think we're putting a lot of our defense on his shoulders. I think he's ready for the challenge. Yeah. I think we'll be victorious because
of him. I think you're right as well. You need to get pressure on Matthew Stafford.
Oh, yeah.
That guy can wing it. That guy can sling it with the best of them.
Well, I was talking to Jerod Powers, and he was just saying, I said, what would you say? He's played against him before. What would you tell the younger guy? I said, hey, look, doesn't matter what kind of coverage you have with Calvin Johnson, they're going to him. That would be my message to everyone. They're going to him. And sure enough, I didn't realize this. Patrick Peterson said they targeted him 27 times last game in that game against the Cardinals.
Wow.
You know, Pat's like, that's three games worth of targets for me. You know, that was three games in one. So look out. That was It's All About You, presented by Santan Ford, talking about that matchup of Calvin Johnson and Patrick Peterson. That's when you know it's an NFL game. The Big Red Rage with Calais Campbell and Andre Roberts rolls on after this.
Third and eight here. Stafford out of the gun. He's got it. Four-man rush. Stafford setting up a screen. Got it to Bush. Got first down. Bush, middle of the field. 40. He could go. 50. Angling to the right side. 30. Bush, 20. Bush, 10. Bush, 5. Bush, in. Detroit Lions, 77 yards. Welcome to the D, Reggie.
Wolf, how many KISS concerts you go to back in your playing days? You still have the tour jacket?
As a matter of fact, no, Paul. I didn't go to any KISS concerts. All right?
Detroit
Thank
Rock
you for bringing
City?
That up.
I think that's what the choice was right there. Yes, Reggie Bush now plays for the Detroit Lions. He had 191 total yards in week one.
That play, too, was electrifying. I don't know if you had the opportunity to watch it. I know, Calais, you did, certainly on film. You saw that. And one of the problems of last week certainly was tackling, I think, with the defense. I think you would, especially in the first half, you guys struggled to tackle well, I think, in the first half. And there's a multitude of reasons why that could possibly be, especially when we consider week one in the National Football League. But you're going to have to tackle better, aren't you, against Reggie Bush?
100%. You know, that's pretty much the name of the game. You know, especially against this team, if we tackle well, I think we get a lot of three and outs, and we'll do really good on defense. But if we let them get going and get the momentum and miss a lot of tackles, I mean, these guys have that breakaway power where it could be a home run hit every time they're out there. So, you know, I mean, I think Reggie Bush is special. You know, he's a friend of mine. And, you know, I really think that, you know, if we let him get going, he's a beast to stop. But if you tackle him, wrap him up, you know, he can get frustrated and start coughing the ball up and fumbling too. So, you know, it's a two-headed monster. You know, it just depends on how we play and make him play to our game.
How'd you get to know him, Reggie Bush?
Through Matt Leinart, actually.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Sure.
You know, my younger days and charity events and hanging out with Matt.
Your younger days. You're just killing me.
You just turned 27.
Just
Can you canon on the younger days stuff right now?
It's my sixth year in the NFL. That's a long time.
Yeah. I'm a grizzled veteran sitting next to me.
Well,
27.
You go back to the 2009 season and the playoff game, and we all know what Reggie Bush did in the Superdome in that game and the return and all that. He had a heck of a game. Is he the same dynamic player? Please tell me he's lost a step.
I wish I could, but the guy, he's special. You know, if you let him get going, I mean, he has that ability to break it anytime he touches the ball. But the thing about it is if you tackle him, I mean, he goes down. He's not, you know, overly strong. He's fast, and he can make you miss. He's strong enough to pull through arm tackles, but you put your body on him, he'll go down. And, I mean, so I'm not scared of him by any means because I think that he's a good football player, but it's NFL. I mean, it's made up of good football players. This is week in, week out, you're playing against really good teams. So I'm excited for the matchup, and we've been practicing our tackling and running to the ball, you know, swarm tackling because, you know, sometimes one guy he might make one guy miss, but he can't make all 11 of us miss, you know. So swarm tackling is the name of the business.
And from what I understand, they move him all over the field, any formation. He could be virtually anywhere. They running back, receiver, slot, all the above.
Oh, yeah, he does it all. He's pretty much their number two guys. The ball's either going to Calvin Johnson or Reggie Bush.
You know, this team too, Paulie, it's a big 11 personnel team, or what we call Kings personnel. I guess you would call Kings personnel, where it's three wide receivers, one back, and one tight end. And I don't know about you, Calais, but watching them run the football out of the gun for a team that isn't a quote-unquote read option team, for a team that isn't that, even though I did see them try it with Matthew Stafford against Minnesota last week, and Jared Allen actually ran down Matthew Stafford, right? So they did try to run the read option with Stafford. Very interesting. But I'd say they run out of the gun. They run the football with Reggie Bush and one back out of the gun as well as any team I've seen in the NFL. Would you agree with that?
100%. Watch it on film. They have the most success at a shotgun running the ball, which is rare in the NFL. Most teams don't run the ball shotgun. You know, if they're under center, it's a run. Shotgun, it's a pass. It's the name of the business. But this team, they run the ball a lot out of shotgun. And, I mean, you have to be keep your head on the swivel because they can run it. He can do a swing pass, screens, angle routes. I mean,
what are your thoughts on their offensive line as you watch them on film?
I think they're physical. I think they come downhill. You know, they really have the mentality that if they get a good block, that the running back can take it to the house, you know, which is, you know, what an offensive line is supposed to do. You have Reggie Bush behind, you know, but they're not great athletes, you know. For our front, we're a lot better athletic than they are. So, you know, there should be any excuses, you know, if we use our extension to get off blocks, you know, I mean, we should be able to get in the backfield and wreak havoc.
You know, there have been occasions over the years where, you know, one unit will hear about the opposing unit so much and then take that personally and try and show themselves. You know, you can even go back, speaking of liner, to the 2006 Monday night game, and you heard all that about the Bears defense and the Cardinals defense came out, took it personally. When you hear everything you guys hear about the Detroit defensive line, Fairley and Ndamukong Suh and, right, Jason Jones and all those guys, you guys sort of internalize that maybe in the defensive lineman room this week?
100%. I will say that I'm a competitor. You know, I'm very, very competitive. And anytime I'm on the field, I want to be the best defensive line. You know, and I think that when you go against a D-line like the Lions who have these special players, it's a competition for me. I want to outplay them. I want to outshine them. You know, so this is a big week for us. You know, it's going to be a good competition, and I'm excited to see what D-line plays better.
So, Andre, when you look at the Detroit Lions defensively, when you look at them on film, what are you seeing out of them?
Their defensive line.
There you go, Clayus. More motivation for you guys. Go put that up on the bulletin board.
That's their strong suit of the team, D-line. I think everybody knows that. They have a hard-hitting safety back there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking forward to going against.
Would you consider this a middle-of-the-field closed team? They do that most of the time? Yeah.
They do play a good fair man. They definitely play cover two and cover four. They leave it open from time to time, but they try to have those matchups with a one-on-one, and I'm looking forward to that.
You know, it's a different challenge when you have the interior D linemen, I would imagine, who are very dominant. I mean, you know, if they're edge rushers, okay, maybe you can put a tight end or you can put a back and you can chip them a little bit. But as an offense, what do you do when you have guys who can just blow up the A-gap and just come right up the middle? What do you do as an offense in that regard?
Honestly, I think it's a little bit easier. You got the edge rushers that are so fast and so quick. You have the chip running backs. But when you got the interior guys, you can double-team them easier. You can use the center and the guard to double-team them a little bit easier. Obviously, we can't double-team them every play. That wouldn't really make much sense, but we definitely have our work cut out for us.
I could tell you how to double team guys in the interior.
I'll give you a pen. You can give us the X's and O's.
Andre, when you watch the Lions on film, do they remind you at all of the Rams? And the reason why I say that is because Jim Schwartz, the head coach for the Detroit Lions, and Gunther Cunningham, the defensive coordinator for the Lions, they both worked under Jeff Fisher. Do you see any similarities at all?
You know, when we were going into this game and looking at their film, we kind of took that out of it.
Really?
They do some of the same things. They don't play as much Tampa 2. They definitely have that in their defense. We've seen it. But they don't play it as much as the Rams. But yeah, they're from the same system, and they play some of the same techniques.
Interesting.
So when you guys are in your offensive meeting rooms this week, what are you hearing from Coach Arians? What are you hearing from Harold Goodwin? I mean, I asked Calais earlier, what's the message to the offense this week?
Win the game. Play hard, finish, and win the game. We have to be 100% in the red zone and, you know, finish our third downs on key moments like the fourth quarter.
Yep, indeed. You know, because so many games in the NFL come down to that field goal or they come down to a touchdown.
Most of the time it does.
Yep, it's all about finishing in the fourth quarter. Do you guys remember your first ride? You know, the Motown Lions, Detroit Lions are coming to town. Do you guys remember what your first car was? You know, did it have snow tires in Colorado, Calais? Hold that answer. We'll come back. We'll revisit that. Hey, get familiar with the NFL's new bag policy before the game on Sunday at University of Phoenix Stadium. Just go to azcardinals.com/bag policy. It's the Big Red Rage. Calais Campbell, Andre Roberts, all presented by Santan Ford here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center.
But I will tell you this, Larry Fitzgerald could catch a bee with chopsticks.
Where was your first car growing up? Is there any stories behind it? 1997.
Cadillac DeVille.
Maroon. It was my first, and I love that car, man. My dad sold it behind my back when I got to the NFL without even talking to me. I'm still upset about it.
Did you have a nickname for it or anything?
I didn't have a nickname for it. Everybody else called it the Red Bomber. You know, I thought it was so fly, though. I was happy with it.
What was the best characteristics of it?
It's comfortable. You ever rode in a Cadillac before?
Maybe an Escalade.
Man, well, they're just like a DeVille. It's so luxury, man. And the seats are just kick the seats back, and it was great, man. It was a smooth ride.
Smooth with three O's there. Larry Fitzgerald breaking down his first ride with our Jim Omohundro. All right, guys, let's go around the horn here. The Big Red Rage with Calais Campbell, Andre Roberts, Ron Wolf, yours truly, Paul Calvisi. Calais, go ahead. Your first car was?
A Chevy Cavalier, 1993 Chevy Cavalier. My beautiful mom bought it for me.
By the way, mom's in attendance tonight. Please, can we get a stand? Can we get a little round of applause for mom? Come on, mom, please.
Take a bow.
Absolutely. Right over here. Harumph.
She's beautiful, isn't she?
Outstanding. Yes.
But, yeah, so the car wasn't the biggest car, so my knees are coming to my chest all the time.
See, that's considered a compact car.
I mean, I got a little more flexible driving that car. It's good for me.
I see. You know, I'm envisioning you tearing out the front seat and sitting in the back seat, but that's anyway. Andre, how about you?
I'm sorry. I don't remember, like, Larry and Calais, the year and the Megan.
You're not a car guy.
I'm not a car guy that. But I did have a Saturn. I had a little silver Saturn. I drove the high school. I remember my mom told me, we're going to get you this car right now, so if you mess it up, that's fine. It's a nice little old car. You can get as many scratches as you want on it because later on you'll have yourself a new car.
What are you driving now, Trey? What are you driving? And by the way, does anyone say fly anymore? Does anyone say that? I mean,
I don't know.
That was period. that was period correct to match the Cadillac that Fitz was driving at the time.
Oh, you know? I see. Dre kind of winced when he said fly. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I don't think anybody used that word too much anymore.
Wolf, what'd you drive around Buffalo? Because whatever you're driving,
hey, Paul, don't worry about it.
It was rust eaten. Let's just put it that way. I can guarantee that much over there.
Don't worry about it, Paul. A Dodge Colt, for the record. Yes. Yeah.
It's better than the 74 Chevy Impala Blue Station Wagon.
All right, Paul.
I lost by 2 feet to a limo once. It was so honking huge. But
you know, Paul collects cars now. Did you know that?
Entirely enough.
He seriously does.
You heard Tim Hovick earlier.
You know what he
go over to Santan Ford. That's our recommendation.
He collects Mustangs. Yeah, he's a Mustang type guy. He's got like, what is it, four in your garage or something like that, Paul?
They're in various stages of repair and disrepair.
Is there a guy on the team? Is there a guy on the team that is a car collector? Somebody on the team that is into cars heavily that you guys know?
Larry's a car guy.
Larry's a car guy?
He is a car guy.
What do you mean? He's got like, classics, or is it just a collection of cars in general?
He has a couple of classics. He has a Shelby.
Okay.
I love his.
Yeah, but you're not into it at all, you say. You're not into cars.
I do like cars.
Yeah.
I actually want to get a Caprice.
The Caprice.
An old Caprice. Cadillac Supreme.
Okay.
76, I believe it is.
Okay, yeah. Just to have them.
Just to have them.
Yeah.
So you can look fly.
If you come across it.
Get them fly. You know, get some bucket seats or something. Nothing really major.
There's two Maseratis in the Cardinals players parking lot. I think one belongs to college. Who's driving the white Maserati? Yeah.
Darren's, I think, is the white one.
Oh, you got to be kidding me. An offensive lineman?
How's he fitting that?
Darren has style, though. He's not really a regular offensive lineman.
Wow.
He's one of the best-dressed offensive linemen I've ever seen in my life. It's weird.
Man.
Mm. Okay.
Break out the Ford F-150. You know what I mean?
I could talk about the cars all day long. I live vicariously through you guys' car collections. Let's just put it that way.
Four Mustangs.
Exactly. We'll wrap up this edition of the Big Red Rage. Calais Campbell and Andre Roberts right after this. We wrap up this edition of the Big Red Rage. Calais Campbell, Andre Roberts, all presented by Santan Ford here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. Speaking of the guys at Santan Ford and Tim Hovick and crew over there in cars, they're announcing tonight that Steve Keim is the newest member of the Santan Ford team. Yes, the Cardinals GM, who is in attendance tonight. How about that?
See you over there.
He better be driving the Ford F-250.
Oh, well, you know, better go out there and inspect. All right, absolutely. What do you have to do to get a win against those guys from Motown there, Calais? What's the key on defense come Sunday?
Getting quarterback hits. I think that's the biggest thing that we've been working on and talking about as a defense. If we can get Stafford on his back a little bit, get the ball in his hands pretty fast, we know he throws the ball and, get the ball in Carson's hands, and we mean business.
So even if you don't bring him down, just sort of rush the play, just sort of impact the play and get to the quarterback.
Yeah, that's when you have the most success. You know, sacks are awesome, but quarterback hits is when they start throwing you the ball.
How about an offensive key, Andre? What are you thinking against the Lions?
No turnovers, being efficient third down, and scoring in the red zone. I think if we do all three of those, we'll be pretty successful.
I think that's a big agreement all the way around.
That's a good plan right there.
Absolutely.
No doubt about it.
Well, and the offense did a lot of good things. I mean, that would be a logical next step.
Got to protect that passer.
Yep.
Or here is the key to victory.
Because, you know, if the Lions, especially those interior D linemen, are getting a pass rush with four, then, it could be a totally different game.
No quarterback hits.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, special thanks, as always, Jim Almondro, Walt Ellis, Derek Burns, Jordan Bird. Anything, any closing thoughts here with Andre and everything going on here at the Big Red Rage? Mom is in attendance, you know, all that. Any closing thoughts, Calais Campbell?
Hey, man, I'm just happy everybody came out today and supported us. I look forward to this game. We need everybody at the game loud. When the fans are there making noise, the defense plays way better. So,
home opener on Sunday.
You've been listening to The Big Red Rage with Calais Campbell. Presented by Santan Ford. It's all about you. The Rage is brought to you by University of Phoenix, the official education partner of the Arizona Cardinals.
1, 2, 3, let's go!
And by Bud Light. It's the sure sign of a good time. Here we go.
Woo! What's up, boy? What's up, AC?
This has been an exclusive presentation of the Arizona Cardinals Football Club.